Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent, documentary, and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Burden of Dreams is the riveting account of the near-disastrous production of director Werner Herzog's Fitzcarraldo. The film starred Klaus Kinski in the titular role and also Claudia Cardinale. The film traces the story of one man's attempt to build an opera house deep in the Amazon jungle. As cast members from Fitzcarraldo start to drop like flies, including the original lead, Jason Robards Jr., who became so ill that he was forbidden by his doctors to return to filming. Also, the ship's captain, played by Mick Jagger, had to leave on a Rolling Stones tour. A prop ship was trapped in the rapids, and Herzog made impossible demands, haranguing hundreds of native peoples who were there to help and he had hired to do the work, to pull a full-size 320-ton steamship over a small mountain. The film itself, Fitzcarraldo, was amazing, and the documentary Burden of Dreams, which chronicles the making of Fitzcarraldo, is insane and beautiful and remarkable in its own way. The film was directed by Les Blank, who is a renowned documentary filmmaker, but we're joined today by one of the people responsible for restoring Burden of Dreams, as well as founder and president of the film distribution company Argo Films, who's also releasing and distributing Burden of Dreams. And that would be Jim Brown. Jim, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. I am not responsible. The actual restoration work was done by, team was led by Herod Blank, Les's son, runs Les Blank Films, and is also a filmmaker, and then another fellow named Anthony Matt and Nick Berg, who did the sound restoration. So those three guys did all the work over the past 2 years. They finished up this spring. I've just worked with Herod on two other Les Blank restorations in the past few years. So I've been sort of in the family, as it were. I worked with Maureen and Chris Simon on This Ain't No Mouse Music about Chris Stockwitz and Arhuli Records about 12 years ago. So I, you know, sort of been regularly in their world and knew that he was going to do Burden. And I was like, please let me, I would love this movie. And what a great, crazy movie to have in this, you know, mad time in the world right now as well. I'm just supporting the theatrical release primarily in North America, but I'm working with some partners to open it in Mexico and Latin America and the UK and Australia. Herod and I are sort of collectively doing that. And we're actually hoping to show it in a arts festival in Iquitos, Peru, because Walter Saxer, who was the producer in the film, the blonde guy with the big mustache, you see him on the bulldozer, he never left. He married a Peruvian woman and raised a family there and apparently had a bar called Fitzcarraldo. And I've recently been in touch with his daughter, Michaela, who I believe is, I guess, in her late 30s and was, you know, conceived back then. It's just interesting sort of odyssey. And the other little thing that we're still figuring out is there's 4 hours of extra material that Herod restored from work prints. And it's just a treasure trove of great Werner-isms and watching him direct in the jungle. Because he worked with a very bare bones crew. He still does. He's not somebody who like has a huge amount of pomp and circumstance around him for everything. Just amazing to watch him work, because he and Les had a real affection and deep respect for each other as artists.
That's a very interesting bit of information that you just brought up, the 4.5 hours of film that they still have. Because watching Burden of Dreams, while it is it's a wonderful portrait of what happened, it also feels like there was more. There's more stories in this project. So it's interesting that you bring that up.
Well, they went twice, right? So they were there the first shoot when it was with Jason Robards and Mick Jagger, and they had shot 40% of the film. So there's, you don't see a lot of that in Burden, but it's in there. And then, so they're there, I think, for 4 weeks and 6 weeks. I can't remember exactly at the two different times. So like 1979, 1981, 82. With the only times that Les and Maureen and the other members of the crew were there over this sort of 3.5 year odyssey. So I think a lot of it is about how do you sort of sum up the whole story, because both films also premiered at Cannes the same year, which is really unusual.
Wow. That I did not know. That's an amazing bit of information. I just want to take a moment to let people know that you, Jim Brown, will be in town for a screening of Burden of Dreams this coming Saturday night, September 7th, at the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Science Museum. It's a 7:30 screening. The Academy Museum Theater is located at 6067 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. And joining you at the screening will be Herod Blank, his son, as well as Werner Herzog. We'll be there, so quite an evening at 7:30 at the Academy Museum Theater. And once again, this Saturday night, September 7th, the Academy Motion Pictures Arts and Science Museum Theater, 6067 Wilshire Boulevard, 7:30 screening.
So Herod will kind of get it started in talking with Werner about Les, and then Werner wants to talk directly to the audience. So it will be an opportunity for anybody to directly talk to them. And there's certainly a film that, you know, you're hard to not have a handful of questions after you watch this.
I couldn't agree more. There's going to be a lot of people in that audience who are going to want to ask a lot of very interesting questions about the production, about Burden of Dreams. Let's talk about what got all of this started, which is the production of Fitzcarraldo. Let's talk about the story itself of Fitzcarraldo. What was it supposed to be about? What was it about, I should say?
It's about this, you know, rubber baron with a crazy dream to bring Caruso to the Amazon and build a world-class opera house and, you know, be a sort of imperialist with culture, right? In terms of just, I think this needs to be done. It's a mad dream. It's a Don Quixote type, you know, quest. And he uses his charms and his chutzpah to, you know, get people together and go down this totally mad journey. And, you know, and ultimately it's a failure, you know, at the end of the day, they let the ship, you know, he finds a way to sort of spin it. But like, you know, the Indians let the ship go and it's, you know, it's all that effort for naught. But it's just one of, you know, it's really about the journey and all the amazing characters and, you know, to just have, you know, Jason Robards and Mick Jagger for a time. And then, you know, when that ended, he just wrote out Mick's part because he was like, I can't replace Mick. He was so terrific and so original that he just went at it without, you know, getting rid of that in the time that I had to go back, rewrite, raise more money, get back to the jungle. In this year of going deep into Werner, Conquest of the Useless is Werner's journal entries from this whole era period, which is, you know, in total is about 4 years of his life. And, you know, going in and out of the jungle, back and forth, crazy motorcycle trips, just danger, danger, danger. Like you're saying, it's just sort of like, you know, it makes him seem much crazier than Burden of Dreams does, which is hard to, you know, hard to fathom, but it's true.
And what you're talking about is something that I talk about quite often, which is the story being told will often reflect the production of the film itself, whether it be in the actual storyline or in the chaos of a particular kind of the production, or how often the two sides of filmmaking, the production and the film itself, often mirror one another. And boy, if this isn't a great example of that, I don't know what is.
Absolutely. No, and in these extras, Michael Goodwin, who I mentioned, who wrote the narration, he basically poses that question to him and asks if it was intentional. He's like, no. No, definitely not. But like, it's just like, what can you do? Like, you're down the rabbit hole, and you gotta just kind of, see if you can finish it off, which he did, and won the Palme d'Or. And it's been interesting. A lot of the theaters that have been playing Burden have been also booking Fitzcarraldo, so they'll offer Burden 2 or 3 times a day, and then Fitzcarraldo once, or Fitzcarraldo on the weekend, because Fitzcarraldo's long.
Well, once again, something that's just fascinating about the film, Burden of Dreams, about the making of Fitzcarraldo, basically. And also, how often throughout the film, Burden of Dreams, we see Herzog turn to the camera and talk about either it's the production or it's the challenges he's facing or these more existential questions about whether or not this is a good idea to continue doing this. And that question is raised to him. Or in the course of Burden of Dreams, that are you going to do this no matter what? It comes up often. So what do you think?
Yes, it seems. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And but I mean, you look at the man's output. I mean, the
Yeah.
volume of films and TV documentaries and operas and books that, and he's still just going, at full tilt 40 years later. He turns
Yeah.
82 on Thursday. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
And so many of his films play with this kind of danger. I mean, he's at the edge of a volcano, he's at the South Pole, he's just, his memoir, and he's constantly almost on the verge of dying along with his cameraman. That's a bit, overdone, but it's true. It comes up a few times, and you're like, oh my God, please
Yeah.
sit.
And once again, a invite is begging here to go to the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Science Museum Theater this coming Saturday, September 7th, at the 7:30 screening, where Werner Herzog and Herod Blank and our guest Jim Brown will be there to field questions about Burden of Dreams. Just an excellent opportunity to ask the man himself just what the heck was he thinking?
Also, it's been years since he appeared with this film, and the new restoration, the work they did is, excuse me, extraordinary, particularly sound. They went back, it was a mono soundtrack, and 16 millimeter film that gets blown up to 35. The sound is just on a little magnetic strip on the side of film. And going up generations, and the mix wasn't very good. And so Nick Berg, who's the sound guy in this, went back to the original Nagra tapes and relayed in all the sound and the music that is all stereo music, but it was a mono mix, so it's a 5.1. And the few times that I've been in the room just to sit and hear it, and the amount of people who really go, oh my God, the picture looks incredible, but then to hear the jungle sounds from different places of the room, and like it's real. I'm so excited to. I've not been to the Academy Museum, and this 950 seat theater, it ought to be really special evening. So for those listening, I highly recommend buying tickets ASAP, because they told me at the end of last week it should be sold out early this week. So.
And I certainly agree with you in terms of the technical aspects of Burden of Dreams, this restored version. You can hear it, you can see it. There's a lot here to appreciate. There's a very interesting and provocative aspect to Burden of Dreams that has to do with Herzog and his relationship to the native people of the region of Peru that in the making of the film. And how that plays out in the film, how that plays out in terms of what the expectations are for them, for the tasks they're being given, for the level of danger that many of them are in while they're doing this. And all of those things come through, and sometimes you can't help but wonder what Werner Herzog was thinking about or what was going through his mind in terms of the production and his relationship to these people. And I also wonder in terms of what he was thinking then and what is he thinking now as he watches Burden of Dreams. Again, another reason to go to this screening and find out.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really speak to that. We'll see what he has to say on.
Again, just an utterly fascinating part of the film. And moving on, I do want to talk about the ships. There were three of them. I did not know that. So much of this film, Burden of Dreams, I did not know. And so let's talk about it. One was for being pulled over the mountain. The other ones were for other purposes. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, just, I mean, I think the logistics for, you know, he works like with a bare bones crew of people. And so a lot of it, you know, there was so much time of them just sitting around waiting for the river to rise or the river to go down or whatever. You know, you see those scenes within where the ship is like up on sort of mud and they're like, this could be 4 to 6 months before. So that's part of why they needed to have three. So where one is going to be kind of docked, they could maybe be doing something with the other. But it's not like they had these huge security taking care of things. And there was, you know, wars going on in the Peru-Ecuadorian border. And, you know, and that kind of threat is also just standard issue for Werner. I'm friendly with a guy who's been editing with him for a number of years. And, you know, he's just not fazed by, you know, Sisyphean hurdles at every like step of his journey. It's really something, you know, and then having to raise money to keep it alive, keep, you know, not only keeping everyone's sanity in this thing and running this set in this remote jungle, but making sure that the supplies, which could take days to weeks to come in, are going to get there, and all of that just seems like that's just too many things. So I'm not sure in terms of the, you know, the scale in terms of just the number of people. But I think, you know, as you see by the number of Indians in certain places, and I see lots of other scenes of the extras that, you know, he's working with, you know, dozens to hundreds of them in certain places to do a lot of these, you know, crazy manual labor, like pulling this damn ship over the mountain.
One of the things I'm struck by in watching Burden of Dreams is the filmmaker, Les Blank. He's not often mentioned in kind of the pantheon of documentary filmmakers. And he certainly, his output and the quality of his output warrants him being mentioned, in my opinion, more than it generally is. Is there something about watching Burden of Dreams that that hits you in terms of that question about Les Blank and where he sort of fits into in the world of documentary filmmaking?
Well, I mean, for me, it's, I've gone deep into Les Blank's work with working on a bunch of things and really, really love and admire him as the filmmaker and his work. And I think Burden of Dreams kind of stands aside as its own kind of great thing that is a different animal than his music films, though employs the same just kind of incredible eye. And, you know, the way that he captured, you know, all the Indians and the life there. And so also, I just love the idea of the title of Burden of Dreams. And just thinking about that as, you know, we all have some kind of burden of dreams and different things that we've wanted to do in life. And so I like to think about it as just something that is a really interesting thing to take from 40 years ago and drop it in our world today and see how people kind of respond to that. Okay. in this world. Like, I've started to ask some filmmakers of in other places to introduce it and talk about just what does Burden of Dreams mean to you now, maybe the film or maybe those words, you know, right, and use that as, or, well, you know, talk about Werner, talk about Les, or that kind of thing. So that, you know, and also it's just, I really love and admire Werner, and he's just become such a cultural touchstone. You know, the fact that he's in The Mandalorian, he's in Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise, he does guest spots on The Simpsons and one other, like Community or 30 Rock, you know, like big popular TV shows that he's like a character, he plays himself or whatever. There's just nobody else like him.
In the last couple of minutes I have with you, I want to talk about Les Blank. I want to talk about where he slots in your mind in terms of the iconic documentary filmmakers that are often brought up in terms of the impact of their work. I don't think Les gets his due I don't exactly know why, but I don't think he does. And just curious what you think about that.
I think that's right. And I think it's a function of sort of his style, which is not loud or bombastic. And you know, it's not littered with his voice or, you know, as a narrator, or, you know, it's a really observational style. And I think it's true. I particularly feel it as a New Yorker, like the East Coast documentary world. It's not that people know him, but he's not, you know, talked about when you're talking about D.A. Pennybaker, Chris Hegedus, or some of the others that are more of his, even Barbara Kopple, who's, you know, younger or whatever. It's a different scene, and he really just marched to his own sort of drummer and did everything his own way, which I think is part of it. I think he just sort of preferred to do it his way. So yeah, so I think that's true. I mean, that's, you know, why, you know, I know that he's known by a lot, but he's sort of like out there on his own frontier, you know, in a way. But you know, most of his stuff is with Criterion, you know, his stuff is what, and it's also Herod has done an amazing job. I think this is the seventh of his films that he's restored. And there's a last film that Les was working on that Herod is also finishing editing. And then he's been making a film about Burning Man, Herod has, for 30 years, that Les shot much of it over the years because Les was also into Burning Man. So there's more Les to come in different incarnations, but Burden of Dreams is the high watermark in my mind of his greatness.
Well, thank you for that. A terrific overview of his career. Once again, the film is called Burden of Dreams, this Saturday night, September 7th, at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Science Museum, their theater there at 6067 Wilshire Boulevard. Chance to sit in the audience, watch this wonderful documentary film, and then have an opportunity to talk with Werner Herzog, Herod Blank, and our guest today, Jim Brown, for all their work on this wonderful documentary. So thank you so very much for spending some time with us, Jim Brown, founder and president of Argot Films. Again, thank you very much.
Nice
Thank
talking
you.
to you.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.